Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you once again and wherever you are in the world. Now, we're right now, and I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, and Brother Al, he's out in Richfield, about 30 or 40 miles away from me. And he's at the radio station now, and I'm at my house. And it's pretty cold around here and snowing, and so we're going to get this thing all together, Lord willing, and we're so glad that you're listening and you're with us wherever you are in the world. And I just thank God that from the people that are going on the internet listening to us, we know that you're listening from everywhere in the world. So I just ask you to pray for us that God will speak to people's hearts as we're giving out his word. But, the big thing in the news today is the coronavirus or whatever it is, and coming out of China, it's killed quite a number of people, particularly in China. We ought to pray for those people, and possibly God has a reason why he allows what he does, and maybe it will bring people to the Lord over there in China. But it is slowly spreading, and it hasn't actually spread much, as far as we know, in the United States. But it makes us think about the time of the second coming of Christ, where the Lord talks about pestilences. And so we're going to talk about some of the signs of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible does say it. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the times and the seasons, the Bible says. So as soon as Brother Al gives his scientific report, we'll be talking about that. Matthew 24. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good you're staying warm out there. It's kind of a chilly afternoon here in northeastern Ohio, a few snowflakes coming down here and there, but it's still February, so we still got some winter left to go, don't we? But
yes, sir.
You can find more about Bruce and the program if you go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can see some more information about Bruce, and you can also hear him sing on there a little bit. And then there's some books and materials that he references from time to time. There's links there, as well as links to previous programs that you can all find at whereisgodsword.com. I was looking at something here today that I found kind of interesting, and it was a proof that in Genesis chapter 1, and where it talks about the creation story, and it shows God creating the heavens and the earth, and it says that he created all that there is in 6 days. And then when you go into chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Long time ago, somebody told me, if the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense when you're looking at the Bible. And it talks about days and God resting on the seventh day. And repeatedly in Genesis chapter 1, it makes statements such as in chapter 1, verse 5, where it says at the end, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." And then in chapter 8, or 1 and verse 8, it says, "And the evening and the morning were the second day." And then in verse 13, it says, "And the evening and the morning were the third day." And then verse 19, "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." And then it continues on, verse 23, "And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." And when we get down to the end here in chapter 1 and verse 31. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Now, to me, it makes it pretty clear we're talking about real days. I got up this morning, and the sun was up, and later on this evening, the sun is going to set. That'll be the evening, and then tomorrow morning, the evening and the morning, it'll be another day. And we don't expect it to be anything more than a normal 24-hour day, a usual day. And that's what the scripture very clearly indicates here in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But yet, a lot of people reject that, and part of it is because they're so desperate to try and reconcile the Bible with man's theories about the origins of the earth, and so they come to these ridiculous conclusions that a day must mean millions of years or even billions of years, and all these different things that are, it doesn't mean what it says. But I thought about that, and I thought, well, is the Bible true, or is man's imaginations more correct? Well, in Exodus chapter 20, I found this interesting. I was listening to something online the other day, and he pointed out something in the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, in the fourth commandment, it says in Exodus 20, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now, he's talking about a day. We know of a day. The Bible is evening and the morning. They counted their day from sunset to sunset. We go from midnight to midnight, but they went sunset to sunset is a day, evening and the morning. And then he says, six days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And so he's talking about days again. And then we get down to verse 11. He says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And we see the same thing in Exodus chapter 31, in verse 16 and 17, where God says, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." I don't know about you, Bruce, but I think God's being pretty clear here that he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, isn't he?
Yeah, it's very clear.
Yeah, it's very clear. So why would anybody want to doubt God's word? Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, we have science falsely so called, but we've got all sorts of evidence that the universe and the earth isn't near as old as the Big Bang people like to make it out to be. And the Bible gives us a very clear presentation that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 regular days and rested on the seventh day. He didn't create it in 6 millennia and rest for the seventh millennia. He created in 6 days, he rested the seventh, and that is reflected in the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath with the Jewish people that was a sign between God and the children of Israel, where he says that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And I'm going with the Word of God on this one.
Well, thank you very much, and I want to talk about today what the Bible says about the time of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I always appreciate those scientific statements that you make and the report in the Bible and science. Of course, the Bible is always right. But, they had this, the big thing on the news is that coronavirus, and apparently many people have died in China. And because of this thing, now we, as far as I know, it hasn't spread very much in the United States. Not too many people have contracted, as far as we know, at this point. And I hope that it stays away from that. But it reminds us of what Jesus said about the time of the second coming. Now, the Bible doesn't give us the day or the hour, but it tells us that we can know the times in the seasons. And so I want to talk about that today from Matthew 24, and I'm going to just read this chapter and go into some of these verses. Now it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." And that temple had been over 40 years in working and in making. It's called Herod's Temple. "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So this magnificent, fabulous temple, in 70 AD, the Romans came in and they had a war with Israel. And they actually destroyed the temple at that time and just threw the thing down. And they believed there was gold in it, and so they knocked the pieces of the stone down to find the gold. And so it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so that's the question. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So he's going to talk about that in this passage. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, there's many, we know who this is talking about, because there's many popes that have come in Jesus' name, and they said that they are Christ. I mean, if you know anything about Roman Catholicism, that's what they teach, that the Pope is Christ on earth. And they come in Jesus' name, and the Bible says they will deceive many. So, you know, the modern versions of the Bible come from photographs that the Pope gave to the world at that time. And so they're based on these photographs, Vaticanus, of course, and Sinaiticus, particularly Vaticanus. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So there'll be wars after that period of time. Now, here we see the beginning of the end. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be..." Now, here's the evidence that he gives of the situation in the world right at the time of the second coming of Christ. There'll be constant wars between nations that will be going on at that time. So in the Middle East, there's wars all the time, it seems like. In Africa, there's wars going on between different countries. And it says, "And there shall be famines." Now, they have terrible famines in Ethiopia and the Sudan. So there's your famines and pestilences. Now, certainly the coronavirus is spreading around the world, although it still hasn't spread very much in this country. But it's a pestilence. That's what a pestilence is. It's these diseases. And so this is what the world will be like when Jesus comes back. There's constant fighting between nations. There'll be famines, and we see that in Africa, and then there's pestilences, then earthquakes in diverse places. And of course, in the last 100 years, we've had more earthquakes than probably any period of time in the history of the world. I was in my house, and I heard this sound like it was a brick building, sound like a Mack truck hit the building. And I found out afterwards it was a small shock from an earthquake. I was out around Pomatooning, sitting in a trailer there, and the ground began to shake. Another earthquake, I found out later. And so these earthquakes are increasing all over the world, and then these diseases are increasing. Now it says, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." This is the beginning of the end, in other words. "And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And so Christians today are being delivered up and murdered, particularly in the Muslim countries, and they're crucified, kidnapped, and killed. And this goes on. We hear a lot about it going on in Nigeria, particularly by these tribesmen to come and kill and kidnap people. And it says, "You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And there's a rise of hatred of Christianity right here in the United States. And the reason is man is in rebellion against God. "And there shall be many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." Now, you see, in any time you have a dictatorship, you have people betraying one another and turning one into the government, and then there'll be hatred. And so you see very much hatred today, even in our country, in the United States. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." So there will be people that call themselves prophet, and they shall arise, but the God says they're false, and they deceive many people. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And so, you know, we have the media today, and where people are fascinated, and they're listening to it and everything, but it does, if a person spends much time at it, it takes their heart away from the Lord. "But he that shall endure to the end," that's the end of the age, "the same shall be saved." And, okay, now here's another sign. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Well, the good news, gospel is good news, and the good news is of the kingdom. What is that? Well, that Jesus Christ is going to come back, and in the chaos and mess of this world, thank God, the creator of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was here and died for our sins and loves us, is going to come back and take over the rule of the world and rule it with a rod of iron, the Bible says. And back then they beat on him and they spit on him and they put a crown of thorns on his head and crucified him. But I'll tell you, at that time, you won't even look at him crosswise. You'll be in big trouble. In fact, it says anybody takes his name in vain, his house will be destroyed. It says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, and in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." So Daniel was saying, Daniel actually gave the time Jesus would come. It would be 483 years after the order to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And so Jesus came on Palm Sunday right to the day and the year that Daniel had predicted. But then it said he would be cut off. Why? According to Isaiah 53, he was cut off. He died for our sins. He was punished in our place so that we don't have to be punished. I talk to people, I say, "Why did Jesus die?" And they say, "Well, he died to pay for our sins and to open heaven's door," which is true, but they don't understand. If he was punished for our sins, we will not be punished for our sin. If we've repented and put our faith in Christ, we are forgiven and we have eternal life. "But the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached all over the world," and that is, the king is coming back. And that is going on today in radio and television. And worldwide, it's being taught that Jesus is coming back. Okay, so it says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." So that is, the abomination desolation refers to the Antichrist coming and going to the temple in Jerusalem and sitting in the temple in Jerusalem and claiming to be God and asking the world to worship him. "Then let him that which is in the Judea flee into the mountains." Now, when you see this Antichrist go into the temple, and he's the one that's going to be a world dictator and a religious leader, but he's not of Jesus, doesn't belong to Christ, then at that point says, "Let them which is on the housetop come down to take anything out of his house." In other words, flee to the mountains. When this guy goes to Jerusalem and goes into the temple of God, you know that the end is coming. "Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them give suck to them in those days, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So in the winter, they might get ice on their wings, and the plane crasher, they don't fly in Israel on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And great tribulation, Moses speaks about it. He says, in the latter days when tribulation has come upon you, you shall seek God. If you seek God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, you will find him. And so there will be a time of tribulation. That means a time of trouble that will come on this world. And there will be the trouble. You read about it in different places. One place it says the whole world is turned upside down. God just spins the globe, and every wall on earth comes down, and hailstones come down. 100-pound hailstones come down, and God is judging the earth, and he is making war on the earth. Why? Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God in human form, who died for our sins, rose from the dead, and that he created the whole universe. Everything that was ever made was made by him. But today, worldwide, they teach the theory of evolution. And instead of giving glory to Jesus Christ, who is the creator, they just say that all of our existence and everything is based on blind, impersonal forces that just happen to come together. And so they do not give God the glory. They're in rebellion against God. And this is taught worldwide in almost every country in the world. Now, God sends judgment on the earth. And it says here, there shall be great tribulation, which was not before, since the beginning of the world, even to this time forever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So the elect are the Israel, the Jewish people. And it says it'll be so bad during this period of time when God is judging the earth that nobody would be left alive. So then it says, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and there, believe it not. And if they say, well, he appeared invisibly, or he's hiding out somewhere, because he will not come that way. For there shall rise false Christ, false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, the lightning goes from east to west, and it covers the whole scope of the earth. And so when Christ comes back, he's coming in such glory that the whole world will see him. There'll be no question about it. He's not hiding out somewhere, coming secretly. And, of course, the Bible says he will stand on the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem. Wherefore, wheresoever the carcass is, there will all the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So now it gets even worse, and so the sun doesn't even shine, the moon doesn't shine, and in the heavens there's a massive chaos goes on. And so the whole world will see this. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall see his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together and the elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. And that's referring to Israel, the elect. Referring to the Jewish people will be brought back to Israel at that time. And Jesus Christ will set up his 1,000-year rule in the city of Jerusalem, and we'll have peace and prosperity on this earth like the world has never seen before. And so we thank the Lord for this, that Jesus is coming back, and we can look forward to that. Now, before this tribulation takes place, which is called the Day of God's Wrath, we have the rapture, and that is the saints, all the saved people will be taken out. And God says he has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can look forward to it, that as the time of the second coming comes, we will see Christ.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.